everyone, and welcome to the Women in Archaeology. Today I am in the Midwest. We are recording outside, so please forgive the car noises. They won't let us in the bar, and I don't know what that's about, but I assume it's because we're archaeologists and we're dirty.
I can deal with that.
Filthy archaeologists. I am joined today by all of the women I was able to get off of my crew, which was pretty much all of the women on my crew.
Just be badass.
And so I thought it would be fun to sit everybody down, give them a couple beers, and talk about what it's like to be an archaeologist in the field of CRM while we are also doing the dig. So I'm just going to go around the table and introduce yourself, how you want to be known to the world at large.
All right. My name is Lindsay, and I am a recent graduate, and I've been doing actual CRM for a few months now, so I am pretty brand new at this, and so far I'm loving it. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jocelyn. I'm a mistress of arts. I've been doing CRM sporadically for, 2 years now, and all my experiences here in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Southeastern archaeologist. I forgot to mention that.
My name is Ashley. I am also a recent grad. I've been doing this for a couple months, only on minor projects. This is my first big one. I've done other field work in the Southwest as well.
My name is Alexandra, or Alex is what I'm going to go by. I'm also a recent graduate about a year ago. This is my third project with CRM work, so I'm still very new as well.
And I'm Sarah. Most of you know who I am. I've been doing this longer than God's been alive, so good at that.
Blasphemy!
Welcome to the show. excuse me. Everybody at the table here is what we call a shovel bum. We're just the people that they hire to dig holes in the ground and then fill them back in, except for one of us.
Oh, Lordy.
And as you could hear, everybody here is new to the field or newish to the field. And so what I thought would be kind of fun is to just kind of talk to people about, because I know what it was like when I joined the field and there weren't as many women and that was a known problem at the time. It's still kind of an issue, but there, if you look statistically, actually, the number of women working as field workers is actually very high. It's actually come up quite a bit, to the point where we can even have crews out there now that are completely women, as I'm sure you guys have heard Emily Long talk about before on the podcast, because she works for or has worked for an all-women company. However, getting women into supervisory positions is a little bit more difficult, especially when it comes to, crew chiefs and the field director positions. So let's start with, since you're the odd man out, let's save you for last. But you can still, jump in about when you were doing field work.
I mean, I am.
Well, yeah, but you're a boss, basically.
Yeah, but I don't even have that much field experience for this.
And that's an interesting conundrum that we've talked about on the show before, but I think you're doing really well, considering it's a sink or swim situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you handled the situation very well today.
I mean, it was not that much.
It really wasn't. It was just, whole organization there. So, but let me start with Lindsay, because she's on my whatever hand this is, my left. So Lindsay.
Yes.
What did you think the field was going to be like? How does that compare to the reality of the field?
So, I feel like when I was, first learning about CRM and everything, it really was, a bunch of always hearing stories about the old men and just all that stuff. But most of the students that I was in classes with, were actually female. And I feel like the younger class of archaeologists is primarily female, which is very interesting. I think that's making a lot of headway with CRM, which is great, in my opinion. And just, making headway, and as, previous, class retires and stops doing this, I feel like it is definitely making, room for more women in the field, which is great. And I definitely feel like, women like Jocelyn will step up and
Jocelyn doesn't like being the center of attention.
But we'll all be in charge one day, because who run the world? The answer is squirrels.
No pressure, Josh. I mean, we only expect you to be running your own company by tomorrow, so.
Yes, that is a very high expectation.
I'm not.
Man, no, I've worked with you. That's
what I'm saying. Oh my god, start your own therapy. Hire all of us.
I feel like I should say I won't work with you just because everybody said they would work with you, and I feel like I have to be the contrarian. It's like my role in the show.
Wouldn't even know what.
The nasty woman.
You should call it lavender digging.
Ooh.
Something like that.
Something subtle that most people would have to look up to even figure out what it was.
I do like a lavender.
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
It's because we like lavender. All right, I want to jump to Ashley. So, Ashley, stretch it out, man. Stretch it out. You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in all of you. So, what did you think the field was going to be like? And how is it either living up to or completely disappointing you or exceeding your expectations?
Well, I wasn't exactly introduced to CRM, mostly because like it's the academic aspect. So, like, this has been interesting in a good way. The field school that I went to last summer, there was a CRM focus, but since it was out west, we didn't do some of the aspects. It's definitely been a shock. We didn't do shovel testing.
You guys just hike a lot out there.
Yeah, there was a lot of hiking. The artifact densities was like really high, so we knew where sites were on the surface.
Good job.
But here, it's a lot of just like digging holes. Digging holes, and like half the time you don't find anything. It's kind of sad. And like in school, they make it seem like you're always going to find something in the hole.
Oh, that's a little misleading.
So,
yeah.
That's what she said.
It's like the artifact's just gonna be there like, hey guys.
Yeah, it's like, they're like, oh, we already know that it could be. And when we dig, we're gonna find something. Now I'm just, oh, you find it again. I guess I'll never find something. And then like an hour later, I find something, like, being excited.
And then someone comes up and they're just like, oh, it's a flake.
Yeah, they're like, it doesn't matter.
It's my first flake.
Like, it matters to me.
It's a crinoid. It's my crinoid.
So yeah, it's very different, but I like it a lot. So people are awesome.
She's just saying that because we're surrounding her.
No, it's
we're holding
really,
a knife. No, it's really nice,
and I like work a lot. It's super awesome. It's kind of nice that I now instead of.
I'm so glad
that they've gone in, because
I
felt really bad that they're going to be sitting at the table across from us and be like, ah, an old white guy.
Yeah, we're not like shitting on their entire existence.
They're super awesome, too.
They are, actually. We have a good crew.
But there's something kind of like valid about shared gender.
It's the wrong word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A shared sort of like family in all aspects, through perspective we get. Kind of struggling in the same way to different degrees.
Is the term femme now? Is that what I'm picking up? Like, don't quote me on this. I am not good at this.
Yeah, femme? I don't like to talk about women. I don't like to assume.
I just don't.
Yeah. So if something's feminine, I'll say that.
Yeah. That's why I'm having such a hard time reading it. It's like
the language has changed, and some of us are not aware of how the language has changed.
And normally I just say like sex, but I don't want to sit here and go sex, but that's just weird.
No,
like that's the thing. Like people, I have a lot of feelings.
Jocelyn, who didn't want to be, who wanted to be quiet. Go ahead.
I have a lot of, well, like, okay, so I kind of first got into it because queer anthropology class, and so I learned about
some of the places get really cool classes.
It was so on the first fucking day we defined sex, gender, and sexuality. Talk about how they're fucking different.
Yes,
and so like I don't know. I think a lot of people say gender when they mean sex. Sex is
the gender reveal party pisses me off.
Oh yeah, with babies.
I started boycotting them. There have been so many, and I started boycotting them. I'm like, it's sex.
Gender.
Kid doesn't care what gender it is. It's like the cats. Like, the cats don't care what gender they are.
If you study bones, you know.
No.
The children don't matter gender until puberty. So, like,
well, even then, like,
it's kind of ridiculous.
When I took osteology back in the day, you didn't use gender as a defining word. It's not correct. Right, exactly. There's no way to know what the gender of a person is from their bones, but I can tell you what sex they are. within a margin of error.
Yeah.
Right. I learned a lot of really interesting things in my osteology class. Alright, but Alex, you're not dodging this bullet. So what was your expectations, and how do they match up with reality?
I honestly don't know what my expectations were. My degree is anthropology, and so I didn't get a full archaeology bachelor's. I did with that, though the actual archaeology field was compared to some archaeology bachelor.
They
don't seem to be from what I'm noticing. So they're very, like, a little bit of a taste that I got for CRM was just kind of my fundamentals of archaeology class and just kind of some basics. I really had no idea what I was doing when I had my first project. Mm-hmm. All I knew is that I was meeting one male field tech and one male project manager in a hotel in the Midwest at 8 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know what I was doing or anything. I just knew I was the only female. Didn't know who I was looking for or anything.
Wow.
And then didn't know what to expect. I'm honestly aware of full tests.
I
knew what they were, but I didn't know what they were, if that makes sense.
Right. I wish they'd send us pictures of each other.
They send us
phone numbers and emails now, but I'm like, I would go for a headshot just so I know what people look like.
Everybody. Another
person was telling me that they do that too.
Yeah, I couldn't find you, by the way, Sarah.
I don't exist on Facebook, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you can't find me. But I go through and I look up every single thing, and I don't write notes, but I'm like, ooh, a little shady.
Mental notes, like, aw, damn, she shows up with some 5 cards.
Oh, that's who you are, okay.
So it's always kind of awkward, because I'll, like, look through somebody's, like, profile, and then they'll tell me something later, and I'll go, oh, yes.
I already know this, but it's fine. Don't let your crazy out.
I know that. I think, like, the first time we met, like, you were telling me something. While we were, like, driving.
Oh, yes.
And I can't remember what you were saying, but I almost said, oh, yeah, I know. And then I was like...
I'm not a creep. Dude, I actually, like, live tweeted my first job when I was, like, trying to figure out what the hell I was doing. And I was just like, I don't know where anybody is. I don't know who I'm supposed to be meeting. I just was told to meet in the lobby at like 7:45, and I'm here at like 6 a.m. No one's here yet, and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, if you're getting up at 6 in the morning, you and Jocelyn will work really well together.
Well, it was because I was so nervous. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to bring.
I remember the first project Jocelyn and I worked together. She's like, do you think we could meet at like 6 in the morning? And I went, no. Alex should have been like, no.
I want to get us out of the goddamn heat. Yeah.
I want to sleep.
I get that now with this project.
Yeah, this one.
7. Yeah. I was very sad, and then now I'm like, no. We can actually meet at 6 if you
7's
want.
Reasonable. Yeah, this heat, yeah.
Get out of there by 2. And
you have a semblance of a day after.
Yes,
exactly.
It's nice, yeah.
To me.
Six is unreasonable.
I think that's a good idea, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but
I'm intimidating.
Yeah. Like, I get kind of paranoid. Like, I'm a small person. And my mother has told me my whole life that she'd very eat me up, me in the car, and take me away.
Well, I'm glad that your mother raised you to be paranoid.
like, as if you wouldn't, like, fight back.
Oh, like, she knows I'd fight back, but, like,
But, I mean, even a chihuahua gets, like, a bite in. But it's still a chihuahua.
Like, I didn't hit 100 pounds in your high school.
What?
Ashley, stop. Just stop. I don't think I was ever 100 pounds in my life, so.
I was a very small person. So, like, and I still, like, have that in my head. So, like, when I meet strangers, that's why Facebook stalked me.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's actually really interesting, though, bringing that up, because it's something that women think about, but men don't. It's not a big deal for men to be like, here, you're going to meet 5 strangers in the lobby of this building.
I don't know that I think about it as a so-called woman.
I think I thought about it the first time because, yeah, it was the same thing. I was like, I don't know anybody. How do I even know if I'm talking to the right people? Yeah. Like, I don't know shit about archaeology.
I only knew that I met the right person because they were wearing the same company's stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew I was supposed to be meeting.
So and then like, you go out with a bunch of strangers out into the woods where no one can hear you scream. Yeah. I mean, it's a little intimidating.
Like, are these people actually going to murder me? Yeah. They have all of the tools. Yeah. They know how to use all of them.
There were some small blips of fear when I'm just in the back of the truck with these 2 men. I don't know when we're driving into a rural area. I don't know what, but I knew, I felt very, and people actually at my job were asking, do you know this company? Like, are you sure they're reputable? And I knew that they were, so I felt confident. But there is always that kind of in the back of my mind.
I don't think I've heard any stories of anybody getting kidnapped or anything like that when they were supposed to be working, but that's just, I haven't heard those stories.
Right. And I think part of it, too, is, like I've never done it.
Right.
Like, where I'm just, like, meeting strangers to go. I mean, like...
It's a little weird.
Outside of, like, dating people. But even then, you're like, this person may be sketchy.
Right. We usually, like, at least exchange, like, a picture at some point.
Right. Exactly. Or, like...
I'm going to be wearing a red rose. You know, you have something to go on.
And, like, you've told all of your friends, so, like, they're all on.
So they know where you are.
Yeah. Right? Oh, no. You tell your friends and your family that you're going a few hours away. Like, they
oh, no, my, right. my parents.
I'm going to be gone for 10 days. If I'm not back on the 11th day,
be concerned.
Then you should call the police.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. My parents asked me to send them the itinerary so they see, like, where I am and, like, what's the address. And, you know, I'm their only daughter. I'm their youngest child.
I think that's an interesting, like, it's not something that I, like, ever actually thought about, but, like, now that I'm hearing it, like, it makes sense. It's something that we would think of that wouldn't necessarily come up with other people.
I feel like a good idea in the future for crew chiefs.
I don't know if she has control over
that. Probably not. No, but just, like, send out, I mean, like, I know emails are the more formal thing, but since we're all going to be, like, pretty informal by the time we're all, you know, working together.
Right.
Maybe, like, send out a group text to be like, hey, hope everyone made it okay. You know, you're all supposed to be here. Tomorrow morning we're going to meet. Yeah.
See, I think that's a good idea in general.
Spot.
When my first project, where I get this one gentleman tech and one boss, the boss did send out, like, hey, actually, I think we should meet at this time. Just let me know that you got this text. And
yeah.
So there was something.
Just kind of touching base with people.
Yeah, so I was
happy
to get that.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, all of my things that I've gone on have all just been, oh, this is where you're supposed to be on this date and this show up at this time somewhere.
My entire career has been 2 days before I need to be someplace. Oh, by the way, can you be someplace in 2 days?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's a bunch of people that you don't know, and you're going to go somewhere and dig some holes.
There's so many moving parts to the fucking project. Like,
I just wish they could give you a little bit more. Like, I had more notice this job than I've ever had on a job. And I had almost a week.
Even still, it was just a little bit shy. My schedule for my full-time serving job was already out, so that is the one hard thing about some lack of money.
Yeah, at least two of you have got, which is interesting because, like, two of you have got part-time jobs that you're trying to maintain. Do you have a part-time job? You just went whole horse, right? Or you should say, I actually went whole horse, because no one can see me pointing at you.
You there.
You, across from me, face in the ether. So, I mean, that's an interesting thing. Let's go to break real quick.
We need more beer.
Because apparently we need more beer. And when we come back, we'll delve into the day-to-day nitty-gritty, because you guys almost have a week of this under your belts now.
Ugh. We're approaching a week.
Are we? It's a 10-day. It's a 10-day, so we're almost done with a 10-day.
Oh, tomorrow's the 7th.
Tomorrow's,
Okay, so right out of week.
Yeah. Today's the 6th.
The days all blend together. We don't know what day it is.
Anyway.
Today, even.
I hope I'm right. It's all a construct.
We're going to break so we can all figure out what day it is. And when we come back, we'll continue discussing this.
During the break, why not check out the Women in Archaeology Patreon account? And there you can learn how to support the Women in Archaeology podcast and blog, and check out some of the blog posts we've been posting, the different ways to become a patron, from $2 to $5 to $10, or even just showing your support and interest is always great. Thank you very much for listening, and hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
So, speaking of PA,
I literally just started the recording!
Can I just easily my least favorite part of working in archaeology with, like
urination.
Having to pee in the field.
Yeah.
Easily my least favorite.
Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot you can do about it,
since
though.
I hit my mid.
This is the first time this is the first time in the project where I feel that we've actually had a porta potty, so that's kind of nice.
Awesome.
Maybe, I think it's because we're there for so long, maybe?
In my field school, we had one that was used 2 or 3 times as heavily as they are supposed to.
Oh, wow.
So far away.
It was like rising to a level.
It was terrible.
Ew.
It
was
terrible.
Oh, wow.
So to even just have as many as you
could. Yeah.
I was surprised to see, too. I do need to get a picture, but yeah. Like, portalets are a luxury.
We had, like, camp portageons and then field portageons. And I think in the field we had, like, 3 of them. In camp we had, like, 7 because It was like half a drinking, half girls, half
boys. Why? Well, okay, boys are terrible. I was like, why can't we all pee together? But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like.
Well, because guys pee on the seat and then they don't clean it. Like, they don't wipe it.
Well, like, they weren't segregated at all. Like, anybody could just, like.
You guys just, like, self-segregated?
No. It's just that, like, you knew didn't want it.
So it really wasn't a boys versus a girls. It was a John versus Bill.
Exactly. Like, sorry, Bill. John.
So let's not go in the
woods. Ew.
I'm saying there's a lot of corn in
there. Ew.
We talk about mature things on this podcast.
One day.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be one of my questions, was how vulgar are we allowed to be?
I try to keep the swearing to a minimum.
But
really?
This is the women's show, not...
But some people get, like,
I'm just saying, dropping the F-bomb every other word, maybe not so much.
Unrealistic. Unrealistic. Can we use you for
I'm all for euphemisms, but I'm also the one that says F every other word. So, like, see, I'm a really horrible, like, role model here. Don't do what I do.
Okay. This is an important topic to women in archaeology.
Yeah. Toilets are important, actually. So, like, where the hell do you pee?
Well, okay, so I think the only reason that in my field school we actually did get, we had one porta potty, but we were also in a public park. Yeah. And it was in a field. So.
Public space.
Right. And, you know, people didn't just, like, or the park supervisors and whoever, like, did not just want us, like, going through the tree lines.
I just actually thought about the project where I met you both. We were kind of in a park area where people were going by.
Yeah, but those brambles.
Yeah, right. That wasn't.
Yeah, no.
We were deep enough in the woods that no one
could see. I didn't even think about that. I'm happy to have one because, you know, as most of their fertile years have a cycle, like, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to be here for a while. We're going to probably all have one or two at this time, and you need to have a place to take care of those kinds of things when you're in the field for 8 hours a day, so.
Yeah. It was actually really funny. When I was in South Carolina, there were a decent amount of women on the project. It was a pretty large project. We were there for 3 weeks, and we did not have any porta potties or anything.
You don't usually get them.
Yeah, and one of the field supervisors was actually a woman, and we all, like, the rest of us, like, happened to be hanging out, like, at the lunch table one day, and she comes up and she's like, ladies, we need to talk. We're like, shit, we're in trouble. Like, what did we do? And we literally had to have, like, a bathroom conversation because, like, she was like,
what does that even mean?
Well, because, like, you know, there were so many men, and we were all working in, like, the same space because we were doing a trench, so we were all in the same area.
Wait, were they just whizzing on the walls?
Well, they would, like, go into the woods and everything, but she was like, yeah, if you need to go alleviate yourself, just make sure you, like, you know, don't leave your toilet paper out, or if you do have toilet paper, make sure it's biodegradable and bury it, and then if you also have, you know, tampons or anything, like, make sure you, like, wrap them up.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the other thing, like.
Those periods are still shit.
Yes.
So, we talked about that on the show.
Or, like, not even, I don't even think it was the, like, you know, wrap them up to, like, hide them, like, in the woods.
Well,
it was
more of a, like,
don't bury them.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, most feminine products do not biodegrade.
No, they are not, and that's the problem.
Diva cup for the win! That's what I was about to say.
Thinks panties!
I love
panties. I love my Thinks panties.
That just freaks me out.
I love them. They're period panties. You just put them on and go.
Oh, wow.
They catch everything.
It's a
unless you're, like, Niagara Falls, and then it's kind of, like, I gotta figure that one out.
Probably do that.
Yeah. Like, mine are light. So
mine,
like,
are pretty light, too.
Yeah. I get bleed a lot at home, because I'm just, like.
Oh, that's nice.
I get, like.
See, now you're just making everyone jealous.
I get irritation, man. Gotta protect my bits.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I would take cramps over, like, having, like, super heavy periods. So.
Yeah, same.
Like, I can have cramps both. And light periods that I can free bleed.
That's why I have an IUD.
Hey! Yeah. Birth control!
Yeah. That's where I did a high five for me.
Yeah, it did.
It was a beautiful high five, too. It was, like, elegant, and there was, like, a touching fingertips.
Oh, how was your Monday?
It's a mood tracking app.
No, it's
so
great.
My therapist and I can talk about how unstable I am.
No, I got a new therapist, and she was like,
a lot of them are recommending it.
She's like, how are your moods? And I was like, well.
Yep.
And I pulled it out, and I was like, she's like,
like, I've been tracking it since the beginning of the year. Would you like to see it? And she went, yeah. I said, I can put it in an Excel format for you. And she went, that would be very nice. I was like,
yeah, mine.
You're going to use it, bullet journaled for a bit, and my and I showed my therapist when I was still going to sessions, and she was like, I'm loving this, but I am going to ask if you can, like, start, like, writing how you feel every day. Like, and I was just like, oh, on this day I felt good. On this day it was okay.
That was actually an interesting conversation, though. Like, we're isolated, effectively, for a 10-day. How is that? I mean, I know this isn't actual archaeology, but we have actually recently been talking about mental health in the field on Twitter, because I exist on Twitter, it's just not Facebook.
Oh my god, what?
But so, how do you feel like something like this is affecting your mental health? Your mental, I don't have a better word, sorry.
I mean, I actually just had this conversation a couple hours ago when I called my fiancé.
And he totally told you how surprised he was that you throw shade?
Yeah, yeah.
So at surprised. Me, by the way, listener.
Terribly, terribly surprised.
But yeah, I was talking to him about how it's really weird that I feel more kind of like mentally vulnerable here than I do working on a project that's further away, because like I know home, like within driving distance,
right.
It's fine, and like there's my like support network, my safe space right there, an hour or so. And I don't think, like, since it's so close, I haven't, like, verified myself.
That's interesting.
In, like, a weird sort of way. Whereas if I'm, like, further out, like, if I'm a few hours away, I find that, like, I steel myself more. I'm like, yeah, like, if shit goes sideways, I can handle this. It's whatever. And then, but here, I'm like, if shit goes sideways, I need my fiancé and my parents are relatively close, too, so that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I don't know, weird. I mean, I don't feel like I've had any thus far, but I am concerned about, like, accident or having it, like, picked up while I'm in a...
No one steals medication.
Yeah,
I thought about that, too. Yeah. If they go through my stuff, it's
okay. Yeah, I mean, right. Like, some of the stuff that I take could... That's a pretty penny, and I'm just like...
So what we're hearing is if you need to make extra cash, Ashley's got the hookup.
I have all the hookups.
So actually, like, Alex, tell us about, if you feel comfortable, tell us about how this is impacting you, and how you're coping with it. I mean, not making it sound like you're the basket case out of the group, because that's clearly my job.
I've actually been trying to, like, gather my thoughts while this question's been on the table. I still feel like this is, like, a really new experience, and I'm excited to be here, so I don't know, I'm still very excited, and it's all very new, so I'm kind of just soaking it all in and trying to decide, like, if this is the path I want to go down, because admittedly, I went back just a little bit later and got my bachelor's, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with anthropology. I just knew that I just wanted to make a decision and get a degree, because I was in my early 30s, so this is, it's still kind of an exciting experience, and I'm happy because I'm making money doing this. It's not like I'm paying for another field school, which I loved. And then just knowing that even though this can be really tough some days, people pay to do what we're doing for a field school. So I'm just kind of like trying to absorb the fact that I'm making money doing this. And if I wanted to continue down this path, I feel like I have an in with this company and maybe with others now that I have experience. So I'm just trying to just soak it all in. And no matter where I am so far, my jobs have been fairly close to my house within a few hours. So there is that security of knowing you're there, but I'm far enough away that, like, I don't know, it's an interesting feeling.
Lindsay had a stressful day today.
Oh, God.
Lindsay's had a stressful weekend. So how is this affecting you differently being out here than if you had been home?
So for me, it's definitely very interesting because you work with so many different people, and most of the time you don't know your crew. And lucky for us, like, we all get along really great, but then there are other times. Shut the fuck up, Sarah. But I mean, like, there are other times. I remember the right after our previous crew.
Oh, yeah, that crew.
And I've told you about them. You texted Alex and I and were just like, my crew's not as talkative as you guys. I miss you. Yeah.
It's really nice to have crew talk.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet. Yes.
So, and some, like, I've been lucky where I have, you know, I've been on great crews, so I haven't really had a problem with, like, adapting to people, but, like, I know for a fact there's going to be people that you don't like, because I have had that problem on a different project. But, yeah, so that's always a difficult adjustment. And then, on top of it, you know, you are living out of a hotel room for however long. And, like Ashley said, she's relatively close to home. I'm relatively close to home, but I'm still far enough away, and I've been having car troubles. And
It's very, very stressful.
I do feel like hotel life is one of the harder parts.
Hotel life is rough.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
Trying to figure out how to still eat healthy. And
eat
healthy, you know, get your vegetables and not eat out all the time.
So. I don't know, guys. That's your seat table. I am loving the hell out of HGTV all the time.
I know, right?
It's so great.
That is the part.
I like that we can get cable, but we can't have internet.
I know. I miss having the internet. That's been rough.
Yeah, that is definitely
Even though
issue.
We're supposed to have it, it's just too many people on one Wi-Fi.
Jocelyn.
Look,
my porn is very important to me, and when I don't have the right
their porns are very important.
I'm just saying it's an important part of my life.
Well, pre-download that on your phone so you don't have to use people's internet.
Damn. Or just go old-fashioned and bring DVDs.
That's
it.
Bring your own.
Chelsea, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Anyway, Jocelyn, How are you doing?
What a question.
Yeah. Because you had the added pleasure of also being in charge of things and the project and us.
You are. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
I think it's good to have a balance, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I like, this is the second time I've worked on a crew.
I don't know that I balance out Pat in a considerable way.
Pat's a good guy. Like, I'm enjoying him a lot. But, like, I've been on crews where it definitely helps to have two different perspectives in charge.
I mean, he's been doing this really long.
Pat's been doing this longer. Yeah, Pat really has been doing this since dinosaurs were on the earth, so.
Before God was created. Have a mixture. I know the first project when I met just the two guys going to the second project where then I had two more female techs with me. Then we had a female PI as well as a male project manager. So it's nice to have that balance. So it's awesome to have it on this project as well, to have a female in charge as well as a male in charge, and specifically because that male is really cool and
he's
realistic on goals and like what we can accomplish and what we should be accomplishing with the heat that we have and not killing
the weather
for the
has
job.
Not been as cooperative as it could be, and mainly it's just temperatures. But that thunderstorm the other day, I just don't want to bail water no more.
Yeah, that's honestly what broke my spirit today.
The water.
It's so funny how like to like how little it takes for men. Like you're not a that's a like
oh you're not
four
a
out of five stars.
You kind of know your ass from a hole in the ground.
Yeah,
right.
If you
you're
can
good.
Tie your shoes, you got it.
Right,
you're not gonna.
I honestly haven't felt, like, I totally understand what you're saying. Like, that whole pressure, like, oh, you're a girl, you have to prove yourself to be twice as badass as the guys. I haven't felt that out here. Not yet.
Not on my
block, anyway. But again, you're experiencing different pressures than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I understand that.
Yeah.
Like, I
just kind of wanted to compliment the crew as, like, I don't feel like this crew is pressuring people, but I haven't been over at the other block, so
well,
I don't know what's
happening
there.
I've noticed interacting a lot. Oh, interacting with Pat.
Well, even just, like, the two of us interacting in the office world is, like, super different than all of interacting in the office world. I don't know if you've noticed. I have noticed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We just bring different energy.
Yeah.
It's really weird, like, you kind of go back. And, like, I feel like I'm different in a weird way. I'm still trying to find my...
Yeah.
All of this, because, like, I'm an outlier, and technically this is classified as an internship.
Is it?
Yeah.
But you're getting paid, which is an anomaly,
which is
and good. Like, no free archaeology here.
No, I don't believe it.
Not after field school.
Nope.
Well, even my field school is technically.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, because you got the U.R.E.U.
REU grant.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Like
it's like a scholarship.
Super cool.
My last field school that I did, which was purely because I just wanted to do one, we had a lot of people there who were on that grant, which was fantastic, because it the whole point of the grant, as I understood it, or at least the way we were using it, was to bring diversity into the field.
Yeah.
And so we got some fantastic kids in there, and they were all kids to me, so that's suck it up.
But it was great.
People that are older than me.
Yeah, no, it was great because I think at least half of them continued on into the field of archaeology, and it's much, much needed, and it was very nice to work with them. So since we started the talk on field school...
Wait.
Yes.
It's basically, like, I guess there's part of me that thought that the imposters... Are y'all familiar with
them? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So hard.
It's
I thought it would
It is
end,
real.
And it doesn't.
No.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
And I feel,
Do you think you feel it more because you're in a supervisory
yeah.
position?
Oh yeah, because I don't
know shit. actually, no. You have more experience than everyone at the table, with the exception of me, which I don't count right now. So yeah.
No, I think you know a lot. I feel like I've learned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, that's the thing with the imposter syndrome, though. It's like, it's awful.
It's crazy. And really
we all have it. Yes. Like, I'm just a huge-ass blowhard, so. My way of dealing with it is to just be loud and confident enough that no one questions me.
Yes. Make it till you make it.
Yeah.
Do know nothing with confidence, all those things. Yeah. But I was going to say, Jocelyn, I think that you are doing a fantastic job.
I don't want this to become all about, like, adding up my ego.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, no. That's not what this is about. Like,
because tomorrow in the field, you'll bring us ice cream, like, right?
Yeah, we don't want you to not feel like you're...
Yeah. And, like, there's almost no feedback and stuff. That's definitely...
That is another thing.
Let us be your feedback so we can tell you...
Exactly.
You get a lot of negative feedback. Like, you know when you're doing something wrong.
For sure.
You don't always know when you're doing something right. Like, today was a really good example of that. Like, I heard a lot about what was going wrong, but not a lot about what was going right.
Especially with this company. Yeah. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I'm walking around. I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing this right.
I heard you call so-and-so out twice today about that.
That's good.
Getting some feedback.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
The fact that, like, it's nice to be acknowledged. Like, I heard you say that. Yeah, I was like, good for you.
No, I'm very demanding when it came back because I don't want people to sit on it and then
we were talking about
something wrong and no one tells you that you are, you're just going to keep doing the same thing.
Exactly. That's why with my dig partner, I even said, like, if you see me doing something wrong or I could be, like, exerting myself in a more efficient way or just anything you see, please call me. And I said that on the last project too, and the female PI that we had was really nice because she even said, like, I at first thought she was upset with me because I wasn't doing my I wasn't using the compass very efficiently, or in my iPad.
Compasses are a nightmare.
Oh yeah, trying to backsight and through the briars that we have.
I'm buying all compasses. And, like,
Can I request a Brenton?
It depends on what kind of Brenton they want.
Wait, if you want a fancy ass Brenton, then it has to be in a leather case.
You just want the leather carrying case. That's fine.
Like a wedding thing. I don't know.
A Brenton is a type of compass.
It's
a very heavy duty, high end.
Is it the one
compass.
That I have? Is it the same brand? Do you remember mine?
Yeah. You don't want that kind of compass in the field.
Yeah, I think you and I have the same kind, like an engineer's exciting compass.
They are pretty, but it's not the right kind of compass.
I've used them before, and I named it.
Well, it's not the kind you need, is what I mean. Like,
I named it. I kept it with
you named
me.
It?
Yeah, I was like, I love using that.
But did you know, here's my question. Did you know how to use it?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a different story.
I did know, and he was beautiful.
Was it? I love how you said it. He was gorgeous.
He was, and that leather case smelled so good.
So, what happened to him?
He wasn't mine.
That was my issue, too. I borrowed, I think I might have borrowed one of yours, maybe? But, yeah, it was crazy, because, like, I finally learned how to, like, backsight and everything, but I couldn't actually use my own compass because it was so... It's an engineer's compass, so I can't actually use my own compass.
I have a blog post on this about your compass. Y'all should go read it. It will explain to you why those kind of compasses are not the kind you want.
Yeah, I definitely need to get a different kind.
Let's go to break real quick, and when we come back, you guys were talking about field school earlier how prepared that made you for the job that you're doing. I'd like to pick back up on that, and so let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk field school.
This week, why not check out the Women in Archaeology blog and see the types of posts we've been putting up over the last 2 years. We've been discussing many different types of topics, from surveys that have been done in the field on what archaeologists are experiencing, all the way to just random subjects that interest us at this time. And it's also a way you can contact us about your interest in the episode, and any topics you would like us to cover sometime. Again, thanks for listening.
And we're back. Ashley, tell us about your field school and how you feel it prepared you for what you're doing today, like CRM in general.
CRM in general, I think I am ish. The field director had actually worked in CRM extensively before she started, I guess, running. She didn't exactly run it, but took charge of it. So, like, she treated us like field techs in a good way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, she was very transparent about it. And, like, she's wonderful. I feel like I need a call just in case she listens to it in the dark. Love you. But, no, like, she had a very clear expectation, and she followed through with that expectation. So I feel like that aspect of it, like, I feel, but the fact that I didn't have my fields Midwest kind of, I don't want to say it did me a bit of service, but it definitely kind of has made what I'm doing now a bit more difficult. It's like physically, like, demanding in a very way.
So do you feel if you stayed in the Southwest, you think you would have been more prepared for CRM in the Southwest?
I think so, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Can I dovetail with
yes,
that?
You may.
I told me that, you know, like, this is someone who's like, reviews all these resumes and sees all these people, like, so American and stuff, and is like, I don't know. He's less excited to hire because.
That's interesting enough.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, he's just thinking
career
in terms
tips, people.
Of, like, what we do
right
every day compared to, like, going down there, having workers to cut the vegetation ahead of you.
Oh, really? That's
oh,
nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
Oh,
and
shit.
Like, well, and, yeah, like, or if you go to Europe and, you know, you're done for the day and you need to, you know,
yeah.
All this stuff after. And, like, in the Midwest, like if you have a Midwestern field and you're, like, wholesome, you're good to, you know.
If you already know the terrain.
Yeah.
I understand,
and
like,
work.
Right. Well, and I understand training to the area. Like, if you had stayed in the Southwest, you would have been prepared for the Southwest. And, like, I have
but
a
I
lot
think
of,
it's also about the amount of suffering.
This is true. Right. Like, the Midwest and the Mid-Atlantic kind of sucks.
In some ways.
Because it's a, yeah, because it's a lot of, you good?
That was a long
we are outside. Again, apologize. Yeah. Apologies for the background noise.
Whispering, die, dude.
Die, bug, die. But no, like, the Midwest is, like, a combination of hiking, plus, like,
interns
walking, yeah. Plus, like, then you also have to dig.
And it's not like it's going to be, you know, the craziest archaeology you've ever seen at the end of it.
No, you don't find shit most
yeah.
of the time.
Right.
It's like, yeah,
but you have
hole.
To go through, like, the worst soil,
yeah.
And it's all clay.
But, and if you still
I don't even
archaeology
want to talk about
that soil,
that,
then you know you're
yeah.
in for it.
So, Lindsay, how do you feel your field school
prepared you? So...
Because you went overseas, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Where'd you go?
I was in the Midwest.
You went overseas.
So, for my field school, we were in a state park. I will say we were a big bumlick. Believe me, there were many innuendos.
Sure.
Anyway. It was, you know, the clay, soil, whatever...
I ended
in
those are the weirdest
ones. It really is.
Really?
It was really
yeah,
strange.
Straight up.
Oh, that's
it was very strange.
I
but...
know nothing about Big Bone Lake other than I like the name.
So
there's a lot of salt.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know what's
and,
going on now.
Megafauna.
Yes. Nice. Okay, so there was a weird thing about that. We, you know, there's the whole, like, yeah, there's megafauna and everything, but there's not as much of an abundance as there used to be and as, like, things that there is. Yeah, there's really not much anymore. But the thing that I liked about my field school was...
Do you want me to leave that in?
No, I don't care. he definitely did a good job at balancing both aspects. So we, like, the first day we started, he was like, okay, we're just going to do some STPs, like shovel test pits.
That's good.
To give you an idea of what that is. And then we'll open up units, like, a couple days later.
Oh, that's
yeah. yeah, so we started off doing STPs, and it was really interesting because the very first day we got out there, it was pouring down rain, and he wanted to call it, and it was, like, crappy from, like, the very beginning of the day, and I mean, eventually he did, and there was this one guy in particular that kept just bitching about everything. He was like, I know, and, like, well, no, he was like, if I'm not getting, like, I'm not doing this to work in the rain, and blah, 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 I'm
just
not
like,
going to be,
yeah,
blah,
jokes
blah, blah.
On you.
Yeah, and, like, and he was just complaining and bitching the entire time, and then, and he was, like, an older gentleman, he was, like, taking a class, and it was, like,
all of these younger archaeologists, and we were all just, and none of us, like, he rubbed all of us the wrong way, and so we were just like, you know what, big ol' F you, we're gonna go out there, and we're gonna still go to do work, and try to, like, get this shit done. And it got to the point where it was pouring down rain. It wasn't thundering or lightning or anything. It was just raining. And we were still all out there screening, digging, because we were just like, this spite. Is what it's, yeah.
It was spite archaeology.
It was spiteful archaeology in a spite sense, archaeology. But at the same time, we were all excited because it was the first day and it got rained out.
Well, it's an amazing place, like, objectively.
Right, that too. And we were, like, right next to the bison pasture, so it was really cool.
Oh, that's neat. They're scary.
They really are. Oh my god.
Considering we left when the cows came up, I'm with her on the bison thing.
Yeah, so their whole thing was we were allowed to, you know, like, go keep a distance and, like, look at them, but it was calving season, so they had just had babies. And so they were like,
yeah,
so they were like, you can't get super close to the fence, especially while the babies are around, or the babies are around, or they will charge at the fence. And so we were just like, oh, shit.
I just remember that guy. You're already out in the field with all the bulls in it. Well, we get to know now. Now that we're not.
No, I still remember this person opening the gate, and they were, like, running, and I was like, oh.
The first project we were on, we just had, like, a cow thing. The first project we
were
on.
Dude, cows are scary.
Like, well, no, like, there were cows. Like, nobody told us that there was going to be cows, like, that we were going to have to, like,
oh, that sucks.
Dig. Yeah, double test in a cow pen.
What is it with you and cows?
I don't. She attracts the cows. She attracts the cow projects.
Cow projects. All right, Alex. How did your overseas CRM? How did your overseas job or field school prepare you for CRM here in the Midwest?
And I did not mean to detract from the rigorosity or whatever of experiences we had. I think they are just like. Fundamentally,
oh, they were totally different.
Most of what we are
they were
doing
totally different.
On a day-to-day
basis. I love my field school. It was a bioarchaeological field school, awesome. So that was really cool, getting that opportunity and experience to excavate medieval human remains. I think that's probably something I'll never get to do again. So I really enjoyed it, but we walked up to these beautiful, pristine 9-foot trenches that were already done for us, and so we didn't have to. You know, shovel skim the top and, you know, wait for the plow zone to get pulled off. And there's a lot of things that we didn't do, and we were on a salvage unit, essentially, so we didn't actually screen any of our back dirt. We didn't screen anything. So there was just a lot that I didn't get to do with SF units. But I got the experience of how to, like, trowel and know what I'm looking for and be able to get the method of how to expose features or experience with human remains and make sure that things weren't getting too exposed to bake out and lose their, like, integrity of, like, how they were preserved. So I did get to learn stuff, but I will say that when I came to my first project, I don't feel like I knew hardly anything. And this specifically is a little bit different. It's maybe more in line with what I did in Romania, but even still, it's very different.
Well, you're moving a lot of dirt.
We're moving a lot of dirt. Yeah. I'm moving a lot of dirt.
It's usually, like, when people first come out, because I'm actually surprised at how well-rounded everybody's field schools sound like they were, because, like, my first field school was, it was urban archaeology, but we did some test pits, as he was like, well, it was nice. I really enjoyed my first field school, and I enjoyed my second field school, but I think my favorite part of my second field school was we were doing 4x4s, so 4 meters by 4 meters, and at one point, the field director came over and he was like, what did he say to us exactly? He goes, if I see anybody else using a trowel to take a level down, I'm going to take them away from you. So it was really interesting, like, having to teach a whole bunch of kids, like, how to shovel screen or shovel skim quickly, which is not a skill a lot of people learn.
Well, I about lost my mind because, like, the first couple days, we had freaking pickaxes.
Out here?
No, out southwest.
Oh.
And I was like, I was holding it, and I was just staring, and everybody else was okay with it.
I don't know what to do with this.
I looked at my crew chief, and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And she's like, well, get over it, because that's what we do here.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Did she at least, like, swing a few times to show you what you should do?
Yeah, I was just kind of, like, doing the whole, like, kind of, like, careful chisel, and she's like, okay, you have to swing harder than that, or you're not going to get her anything. And I'm like, I don't want to break it. She's like, you're not going to. She's like, it's adobe. Just go. It's an adobe
Release
wall.
Release yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Take your aggressions out.
Yeah, but that mess, like, the
hips. I'm like...
Yeah, there's a lot of... Like, the first time I saw a backhoe on a project, I was just shocked. I was like, oh my god, a backhoe? In archaeology? And now... And this project, they were like, yeah, we're going to bring a backhoe out. I'm like, sweet!
I know, I already asked.
We're going to peel the plow zone off. Yay!
Like, do we have to shovel all this back in when we're done?
I was like, nope, the backhoe's going to come in.
Yeah, that was... I hated backfilling.
Oh, God, backfilling. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, we got so lucky in my South Carolina project. We had a dingo, so, like... Not an actual dingo, like the animal. Like,
dingo had my
so
baby,
basically, like, every time I say that. So a dingo is like basically a one man bucket.
Okay.
Like an automatic bucket. It's just a very mini.
It's like a bobcat.
Okay.
It's a very miniature bobcat.
Okay.
Apparently it's even smaller than bobcats. Yes. I didn't think actually happened.
We were super lucky, and also we were very close to the beach, so it was very sandy soil, which was very easy green, and I miss it, but we were also doing shell, which also sucks. But we were very lucky. We cleared most of the site, and we also had the dingo, so, like, we just, like, moved dirt out of the way, like, and then we didn't even have to backfill at the end. The, supervisor just, like, went ham with the dingo and just, like, backfilled the whole trench by himself. And we were just like, all right, we'll just, like, clear out all of the equipment and then we don't have to backfill, so.
I'm both anticipating and dreading trench day. Because I know we're going, I know it's it's going to come. The only thing I hate about trenches is doing the wall profile. Like, how many of you have done a wall profile?
Yeah.
For the trenches.
I enjoy fussy shit like that.
Have you done a trench wall profile?
Yeah.
It, like, never fucking ends. It's like the wall profile.
It's like a giant piece of art.
From hell.
I love wall profiles.
One more thing
I'm gonna
learn.
They're so cute. Yeah, I do actually like being the person. So, another thing that I've had to do was, so we did a trench, and we eventually opened it up to it was a 2x3 or 4, I think.
The weird ones.
Yeah. And we were already down probably a meter, if not more. And I had to get down there in my socks because we had already, like, shovel skimmed everything and her photos, whatever it is. And
there was skimming going on.
Yes.
It was a shovel.
But, like, there was so many, like, finite soil changes and texture changes that, like, I had to get down there in my socks and, take off my boots and, like, was doing the measurements and everything. And was just like, okay, there's a change.
I don't understand why you had to take your shoes off.
Because, like, they didn't want... Right. Because, like, there were so many, like, very minuscule...
I don't understand this digging in your bare feet thing. Like,
I'd be all over that.
I would, too. I would love that.
You guys know what's in that dirt? There are sharp objects in that dirt.
Yeah, I hate wearing shoes.
That is a personal problem. It does get warm.
I'm not wearing shoes right now. I took my shoes off.
I'm not.
I feel like you just took your shoes off saying that.
She's been on and off of them. But, like, straight up, like, back in the 70s, to, like, wear bikinis.
Oh, yeah. Crazy shit they wore.
And that's why everybody has skin cancer.
For you.
Yeah, just no safety involved in there, apparently.
You know, like,
maybe
we
a hard
could,
hat in your beard.
We could scale back on the PPE a little bit.
I feel
but
like that's a little, like,
I feel
getting into softcore porn.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I have no heavy
again, porn. I'm so sorry, Chelsea.
I mean, the internet is for porn, right?
And cats. All right, we're coming up on time. I think I've mostly kept us on topic.
I mean, you tried.
I did. Approximately. Thank you. Thank you. So, what I like to do with my podcast is final thoughts on the topic, and I guess I'm just going to open it up, and I'm going to start with Alex and then come back around, because you're quiet and it's easy to pick on you.
I feel as though my final thought is, no matter what field school you do, no matter where it is, you're probably always going to not know everything that you get when you get your first CRM job, so... Just enjoy it and, you know, take what you can and just know that you're going to be doing a lot of on-the-job training and just do your best. Yeah.
That's fair. I can get behind that. Miss abandoning us next week.
I'm sorry.
You're not.
I am.
You're not. You're going to need to Chicago to buy dresses.
I know. I'm excited. I'm going to eat the hell out of some meat.
You definitely should. Yeah.
Street dogs.
Just, like, send us, like, food porn pics while you're there.
Don't worry.
My final thoughts. I think the biggest takeaway that I've gotten from this conversation and, like, being in the field during this session is demand feedback, because I've noticed, and I don't know if it's we don't want to hurt feelings or they don't care, but the men's, they don't want to give us any feedback. And
I think they're afraid of us, honest to God.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I feel like there's a level of fear because they're always that mad, crazy women, like, or women crying. It's just like, I'm just like you, man.
Crazy feminists, they'll bite you if you get too close.
I mean, I will, but that's not the point.
Yeah, so, like, demand feedback. Like, be persistent about it. Like, you have to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
And if you're not advocating for yourself, like, anybody else will. And network. It's important.
Network, yes.
Says the lady who doesn't want to go to the SAAs.
Hey.
Jocelyn, what's your final thoughts?
Well, I wanna give a little shout out to trans and non-conforming archaeologists out there.
I'm eventually going to get a podcast started on.
And I just also want to say, you know, like, as intersexual feminist, I think all the time about power and how all of us with our different intersections differently and how, like, I don't know, being women doesn't define us. It's definitely not the movement about us. And so, like, I don't know, speak truth to power, I guess, and that's all I got.
Justin, or... You know what?
Whoa, girl. Every single time.
This whole week I've been doing this. Lindsay, what are your final thoughts?
The one with the face.
Yes.
The one with the face. You, face.
So, my final thoughts, my biggest thing, so going back on the imposter syndrome thing, I have very much struggled with that, and the best way to cope with that is to, I know this is corny, but just be yourself and be yourself.
Right.
Real life is corny.
But
y'all.
Just be yourself and be yourself with confidence. And if you have any questions about anything, do not be afraid to ask them, for one. But so there's like a weird dynamic with that. So, like, you know, I always say, like, know nothing with confidence, but at the same time, don't be afraid to ask questions, because there's also a point where everyone gets, we've definitely seen that on this project.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am infallible.
All the confusion all the time.
And yes. Every word that comes out of my mouth is sage advice.
Oh my god.
It's liquid gold.
Liquid fucking gold.
But, yes. So, you know, be controversial. Don't be afraid to say things and... Yes! That too.
Woman
like,
spread.
Women, I firmly not.
Oh yeah, same. All day, every
day. You should ask Alex about the back of the truck, because, like, I've got that nailed.
Alex has, like, this much space and, like, all of my shit.
I come in extra space.
Don't think I take it.
I do that whole, like,
I feel really bad about it.
I'm just like, I am here.
Yes, hear my womanly roar. But yes, and I mean, like, don't be afraid to let your big personality get in the way. That's not
let
the right...
Let it shine through?
Yes.
Don't be afraid to have a big...
That, yes. That's what I meant. Not... Yeah.
This is the advice of 4 years.
Hey! I've had more than that.
I just want to thank all of you for allowing me to eat up our valuable evening. I know we would all rather be binging and sleeping right now.
This was very fun.
This was fun. I like this.
I am old, so this is bedtime for me, because, like...
Oh, God, what time is it?
It's 9.
Oh, I could be PJ'd up right now.
This is what I'm talking about.
We're
this
about
is
to
why
be PJ'd up.
This is why.
I'm going to have at least, like, 3 more beers. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I'm probably going to bed.
That is also a book.
And a color bag. Oh, I got to give you crayons, too. Anyway, thank you all. Thank you all for coming onto the show. I appreciate it. And
thank you for
having us. Yes, thank you very much.
No, and I think you guys have made some really interesting, just comparing the things that you have brought up on this podcast to my experiences when I first started working in the field. And I know you guys think I'm just saying this, but it's very night and day, even though there are some very, like, staunch similarities, like the whole compass conversation. I didn't even learn to use a compass until I was on my first job. I didn't even know how to dig an SCP properly. Like, I got it at my field school, but there's a difference between digging 3 practice SCPs and then doing a line of 30. So, and just the dynamics of people in the field. Like, when I first started working, I was usually, like, one of two women on a field of 30, in a crew of 30. So, I really appreciate you guys taking your time and sharing with us how different things are now, and also the similarities. So, thank you all for coming. Good night.
Bye. Good night!